Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
That's fired, that's caught, and that is Hodge. And Hodge is going to take it to the end zone. A most improbable win for the Atlanta Falcons.
That was Al Michaels, Amazon Prime on the call. Kadarius Hodge, 45 yards to the end zone in overtime for the KO punch. As in a very entertaining game, Atlanta stuns Tampa 36-30. Look, sometimes these Thursday night games are snooze fests.
Yep.
And they get a little long in the tooth time-wise, and, you know, you got to get up in the morning, handle your business. But this one kind of captivated you because you had the Mets and Brewers. That was dramatic. And then this thing got deep, and, like, you know, I'm really, really tired, but I can't, you know, I can't turn the TV off. And, hey, you were rewarded with one of the more entertaining games of the young NFL season. How about Kirk Cousins? 42 of 58. 509 yards, four touchdowns, quarterback rating of 114.8. That's the Kirk Cousins, Vinny, I'm assuming Atlanta thought they were getting when they signed him from Minnesota.
No doubt. And Bob had over 600 yards of offense.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I think the big thing is, you know, like week one, it was like, damn, Cousins, he can't even move. You know, I mean, he was a statue back there. He couldn't even protect himself. And if you can't do that, it's his right Achilles. You know, and you can't, just like throwing a baseball, you can't put, you got no zip. So he, you can tell he's feeling better because he scrambled around a little bit last night, made some plays with his legs some, but he was on last night. His feel, instincts, and anticipation, phenomenal.
Baker Mayfield was no slouch himself, 19 of 24, three touchdowns. His quarterback rating was 137.5. But there were some costly turnovers for both teams in that final 5 or 6 minute sequence that led into the overtime. Bucky Irving's fumble was huge because Tampa was trying to finish things out there.
Yeah.
And he was on the way to a pretty significant run there, too.
Yeah, so you got to be sick if you're Tampa because you feel like you gave that away. Yep. I mean, you're a minute and something away from, you know, putting a game away. And, I mean, Todd Bowles has got to really be sick, Bob, because he calls the defenses. And, you know, I mean, Kirk Cousins gets a last drive again and takes it down. I think all three of their wins, he's won on the last drive.
So that division, and we'll do our picks here in a couple minutes, but 3-2 Tampa, 3-2 Atlanta, 3-2 New Orleans.
Yeah.
Carolina's kind of out of it. So
yeah.
Flip a coin. Is any, you look, New Orleans, first 2 weeks especially, they look like they were well on the way to being really
well,
good.
The thing with Atlanta, Bob, is they've got two division games on the road victories. So, I mean, that's big.
New Orleans 2-2. They're coming up this week. But anyway, you get the point. That's a division that's pretty much kind of up for grabs last night. But rewarded. And you heard the game on 105.7 The Fan with some Thursday night football excitement. Let's get back to the Ravens, and in particular Ronnie Stanley, as he's been doing very well on the left side of the Ravens offensive line, and talks about how the you know, the Ravens starting to get it together. That hard work always pays off, doesn't it?
It's just a accumulation of consistency and guys coming in every day and working hard. And, you know, when you do that a lot, it's going to get better. And, you know, guys just been putting their head down and going to work.
And we've talked about Ronnie for a long time. OTA's mini camp, what we say, he looked better. you know, looked athletic, all those things. But can he put his foot in the ground and anchor? And we would only feel like that once the game started, because that's when he get hit. But he's been playing really well. I mean, down the field, Bob, going down the field, hitting DBs, down blocks, all that. Pass pro, he's done a good job. He'll do a great job this week. Whoever's rushing on him, he'll have no problems. So that is a pleasant surprise, because, Bob, the biggest thing is they don't have anybody that can play that spot.
And as Ronnie has been much maligned, I mean, who? Brian and Owings Mills wants him gone yesterday based on his recent performance. He broke his ankle in that Pittsburgh game 4 years ago, has never been right. As Vinny said, he looked as healthy as he's been in a long, long time. And Ronnie Stanley was asked about being motivated to prove the doubters wrong this year.
I thought it was, you know, very motivating for me just to, like you say, get back to what I expect myself to be. And, you know, the performance I had in the past, you know, were always something that, you know, gave me something to kind of work harder and make sure that I never go back to that place I was.
Yeah, Bob, because, I mean, if you've been all pro, first team all pro, you know, and your highest paid tackle in the league at the time, and then he watches that film last year, that's got to, I mean, as a competitive guy, you got to be like when they were getting ready to watch film, he'd be like, oh my God, do I got to watch? Because he was awful, and he knows he was awful. And Bob, probably that's why he stayed around all this time. And it's paying dividends for him, and they changed his cut. He took a pay cut.
Yep.
And he's a free agent after this year, so he's going to, somebody is going to pay him. I don't know how long, but probably a short-term deal. But the way he's playing right now, playing great.
It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. NFL Lunch here on this Featured Artist Friday. Here's Ronnie talking about his possible matchup with Trey Hendrickson.
He's a good player. He's a leader for that whole defense. And, you know, I expect it to be a battle, you know, for the whole game.
I didn't hear who he said that
Hendrickson.
Was. Hendrickson. Yeah, Hendrickson's going to be a battle. And he always is. What most teams do, Bob, is because there's nobody on the other side, really, they chip him. And I anticipate, you know, because the Ravens, what they like to do a lot of times, they put a tight end close by and let him chip him and everything. But we'll see what he looks like. Can Rosengarten handle him one-on-one? That's what you got to see. And a lot of times, Bob, is they'll turn the protection. And, like, he'll try to come back inside. He's got Falele sitting right there and stuff. And when they turn the protection, Bob, like, let's say it's to the right side. The center, the right guard, and right tackle, they all turn to the right. And they basically become a fence. And, you know, if you've got the outside guy and he goes wide, then the tackle's got to take him. But if you want to spin back inside or whatever, you run into 6'8", 380 pounds.
Right. 5880, 105.7 The Fan. And then finally, here's Travis Jones, a guy that we talked about earlier with high praise, and rightfully so, was asked about this success he's having so far this year.
Going into my third year, seeing things, plays develop a little slower for me. We're out there playing next to Matt Abike, you know, he getting most of his attention. So when I get the chance to have my one-on-ones, I got to win those.
And he's been winning a lot of those one-on-ones. You know, he's so damn strong. You know, I mean, he just got natural strength and with his lower body, and he's getting off the ball. He just fundamentally a lot better football. I love how he plays the run game, because he keeps his shoulders square, punches, locks out, and he can find the football. And he sheds, you know. I mean, like he said, him and Matt Abike, none of them are playing bad. All those guys up front, playing good. And it's a new D-line coach, so whoever that is, he's doing a hell of a job with them all.
When we come back, we'll do our picks. College football, what's it, week 6 already? Get out of here. Week 5 of the National Football League started last night. Did we all take Atlanta? We'll find. I can't remember, to be totally honest with you. But when we come back, we'll do our picks for this weekend's games. And then Joe Daneman from Fox 19 Cincinnati. We'll talk about the Bengals. They're 1-3. Is there hope that they could turn this season around? And if they lose, how do things change? They got a lot of dudes want to get paid. Can they pay them? Will they pay them?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, heading into another weekend of football fun, college and pro. We do our picks every Friday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Booze is on the line. Beer for me and Nolan. McAlter over here. Yingling for old Nolan McGraw. Vinny likes the vino. And Vinny's won 2 years in a row. We're not even at the halfway point of the season. All right, before we get to what happened last night, Nolan, let's get an updated standings report.
Updated standings after last night.
Right, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll save a little time here. Bob took the Buccaneers. Vinny and myself went with the Falcons. Vinny is out in front now, 52-35. Bob only one game back, 51-36. And I got a little work to do at 48-39.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about, like with the Orioles, if they get a hit here, Keith said with Maryland basketball, they make a three here. You know, Tampa should have won last night. Yeah. But they didn't. We talk about realities, not woulda, coulda, shouldas. So the Buccaneers take it on the chin. The Bob takes an Al Bobster. So it is what it is. Let's regroup and try to get that win back. Missouri, Texas A&M, the only game between ranked teams, if I'm looking at this correctly. Number 9, Missouri at 25, Aggies, Texas A&M minus 2.5. No Maryland this week.
Yeah, and Missouri, they're ranked high, Bob, but I mean, watching their games the last few, they've struggled mightily in their, like, they won, like, right at the end type stuff.
Yeah, they were a trendy possible get to the Final Four.
Yeah, and playing down at Texas A&M is not easy. I'm going to take A&M.
As am I. Home favorites there as the lesser-ranked team, looking for an upset, even though, I don't know, is that an upset? Well, it's an upset in the rankings, but not by the spread.
That spreads Texas A&M.
Right, so it kind of counters out, but I'll go Aggies either way.
I'm going to take Missouri, that high-powered offense we haven't seen consistently.
Yeah.
I think they might explode here. And Texas A&M, they started the season with a show-me game, and they lost at home. Notre Dame, matter of fact.
And, yeah, they got hit pretty good in that one.
Michigan at Washington. Rematch of last year's championship game.
Yep.
Different Washington team. They're unranked, but Michigan, certainly different there. They're still number 10 in the country, but the Huskies laying 1.5. This game as Big Ten foes now, not Rose Bowl opponents.
I would imagine the over-under is low, Bob. Michigan does not score a lot of points.
41.5, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, Michigan does. They can't throw. They can't throw. They want to run it and run it. I'm going to take Washington at home.
I'll stick with Michigan for now. I wouldn't consider myself a believer in them this year, but they seem to know who they are. They know that they have to run it and play staunch defense to win, not trying to be something they aren't. I think they get a win here on the road.
I'm a Nolan. They ran all over USC. There's still that big Pac-12 blood in the Huskies. I will go with Orgy and Michigan to get the win there. Miami, number 8 in the country, Cam Ward, one of the Heisman favorites at Cal. And what do you say, Vinny? This is where game day is?
Yes.
What, are they going to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning, Berkeley time? What?
Yeah, I don't know on that one. I don't know. But, I mean, Miami
minus 10.
Yeah, you got the best quarterback on the road. And Cal's a cool, Bob, it's a really cool stadium because you could sit up top, like in the press box or whatever. You see the whole Bay Area, and you see it's a really cool place. But Cal's 3-1. I take Miami.
Yeah, I'll go with the Hurricanes here.
Let's take the Canes. Make it unanimous. Rutgers at Nebraska. The Cornhuskers, 6.5-point favorites there. Big Ten tussle. Greg Schiano's got the Scarlet Knights undefeated. Nebraska, again, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but they're not. But they are at home, and Minnie Mahomes, everybody's intrigued by him for sure. Dylan Raiola.
And Bob, and they should have beat Illinois at home
that
night.
Yes, they should have, yep.
I'm going to go with Raiola, Nebraska, the big red crowd. And I think Schiano's done a hell of a job. And this will be a tough game, but I'm going to say that the Huskers find a way to win it. Rail is the better quarterback.
Yep, no need to overthink this one. Go with the Huskers.
There you go. I'm with you. Make it unanimous there as well. Nebraska, Big Red, whatever the hell you want to call them. All right, NFL, this one's at 9:30. It's over in London. This will be going on as we're on the air with Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show brought to you by Rice Murtha Pesaurus. Minnesota undefeated the Vikings 2.5 against the Jets.
Bob, big emotional win last week at Green Bay. Long flight, probably a 10-hour flight to London. I'm going to take the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings, I said it the same thing last week, shows what I know, but they got to come back down to earth at some point. They're going to have a misstep at some point. Jets present all kinds of problems defensively. I'll go with the Jets as well.
Didn't the Jets just lose at home to Denver?
Yes, they did. In a pouring rain.
I'm going with Minnesota. Jordan Addison came back. He had a couple TDs. I'm taking Sam Darnold and the feel-good Vikings here. Carolina at the Bears. By the way, the spreads are just for entertainment. We're just picking winners and losers. Chicago -4 against the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm taking Chicago in this one. I think, you know, Caleb Williams threw for over 300 last week. I think he's starting to get a little bit of feel for it. He's got to get DJ Moore worked in a little bit more, but I'll take the Bears.
Yeah, just protect the kid. He'll deliver results. I'll go Chicago.
Yeah, DJ Moore against his former team. I'm sure he'll have something to do with this one. Let's go Chicago as well. New England laying 1 against Miami at home. New England's at home.
Yeah, Miami. Who's playing quarterback for Miami this week? Tyler Huntley again?
All right. 38.5, the over-under in this one.
I'm going to take New England because they're at home. I mean, Miami stunk it up last week. I'll take New England.
Yeah, I can't confidently pick Miami at all. With their quarterback situation, I'll go New England.
I'm going to take Miami because I think, you know, Waddle catches a pass that he dropped. They kind of self-inflicted stuff. So the Dolphins, they got to beat New England, right? Cleveland at Washington. The Commanders laying 3.5. Excuse me. It went up 0.5 point.
Yeah. I like the Commanders, the way they're playing offense. It may be a higher scoring game because Washington's defense is not good. But can Deshaun Watson beat them with his arm? Probably not.
Yeah, I'm a... Simple as being a believer in the Commanders, not a believer in the Browns anymore, even though this game does mean more to Cleveland in terms of keeping themselves alive. I do think Washington wins.
Yeah. Washington.
And I would think the fans are going to show up, too.
Because they're getting on that bandwagon, feeling good after a while. Jacksonville hosting the Colts. The Fighting Flaccos minus Jonathan Taylor. Jacksonville looking for their first win. They're favored. -3.
I think the pressure's on Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville wins. I mean, Flacco will be the quarterback. They have no running game. Joe's going to have to throw it 40-some times. I like Jacksonville.
I thought about taking the Jags here, but I will go with the Colts, ultimately.
Yeah, I'm going to Jacksonville. Let's do it. They're due for a win, and, you know, we love Joe Flacco. Flacco's elite, but he's also prone to the pick six and the big turnovers, so Jacksonville will find a way to get it done. How about Buffalo at Houston? The Stephon Diggs ball. Yeah. Houston, they're 1-point favorites against the Bills. Both teams kind of licking their wounds here last couple of weeks.
Buffalo's got a lot of injuries. Their best defensive player, in my opinion, Ned Oliver, is not playing. So there's no pressure up on the inside. I think Houston could puffy pants up, Bob. It could be 2 weeks in a row for Buffalo.
Well, I would be stunned by that. I think the Bills get the bounce back that they're looking for this week. Josh Allen returns to MVP-level play.
Yeah, I'm with Nolan. I'm liking the Bills on the road. Now, if they lose this one, then I think they're exposed. Josh Allen can only do so much. But Houston hasn't been overly impressive. They're doing the job. They are 3-1, but... A lot of Super Bowl talks surrounding that team. I haven't really seen it just yet. How about Denver? 2.5-point favorites at home against the Raiders.
I'll take Denver and that defense. Vegas quarterback issues. You know, they have a hard time running the football. No Davante Adams. Is Crosby going to play? I mean, he didn't play last week. I think there's might be some issues. You know, guys wanting to get out of there. I'll take Denver.
Yeah, really hard to feel confident about either one of these teams. I am going to go with the Raiders. The Broncos are a mess. We read the stats for Bo Nix earlier in the show. a quarterback passer rating of 62.5. Are you kidding me? That's atrocious. He'll find a way to lose if the Raiders don't capture victory themselves.
I'm going Denver wearing the old Orange Crush throwbacks this week, too. Let's go Broncos at home. San Francisco hosting Arizona. San Francisco -7.5.
I take San Fran and their defense at home. Arizona's been playing bad lately.
Yeah, Cardinals are frauds, if you ask me. I'll go with the Niners.
Make it unanimous, San Francisco. Green Bay -3 at the Rams. Green Bay -3 at the Rams.
Oh, Green Bay. Green Bay. Oh, I'll take the home team. Green Bay. Green Bay's going to have more fans than the Rams. And Green Bay's is a better team.
I'll roll with the Pack.
Yeah. Make it unanimous there, too. Green Bay, Seattle. They are 7-point favorites at home against the Giants.
No Malik Nabers, Seattle.
It's a one-man gang there for the Giants. Yeah, I'll go with our old friend Mike McDonald and the Seahawks.
Again, unanimous Seattle here as well. And then Dallas at Pittsburgh on Sunday night. Steelers -2.5.
Dallas defense stinks, and no Micah Parsons and Dexter Lawrence, Pittsburgh.
Run with Najee Harris. They'll get a victory that way. Give me the Steelers.
Again, Pittsburgh across the board. And finally, Baltimore, 2.5-point favorites at the Bengals. Vinny Serrato.
I like the Ravens. I like a lot of the matchups, Bob. I like the Ravens 34-23. I think they'll score a lot. But I think the Bengals will make some plays because they got talented guys. So I like the Ravens. I like the Ravens by 11.
I'm going to go with the Ravens in a much closer one, 23-20. I think they get a really good shot here from Cincinnati. They're fighting for their lives. They can't fall to 1-4. They can't fall behind the eight ball in the division. They'll give them a fight, but the Ravens will find a way.
Ravens 32-17. I'm with Vinny. I think the Ravens win and win with relative ease against a reeling Bengals team. How rough is it for Cincinnati? They're 1-3. Joe Dannemann, Fox 19 in Cincinnati, explains why they are where they are, that it's a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw, and that Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. It's Featured Artist Friday, Smashing Pumpkins here on The Fan. From Fox 19 in Cincinnati, let's welcome back to the program Joe Dannemann. Joe, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
Gentlemen, doing well. Thanks for having me back.
All right. Since he's 1-3, a lot of people pick them to win the division, if not make a deep run into the playoffs. Granted, we're only 4 weeks in, but how have the Bengals gotten to this point where they're 1-3 and underdogs at home against the Ravens?
Yeah, it's all on the defense. And we knew in the offseason what they have offensively, that if their defense could just get from where they were last year, which was bad, just back to okay, that this team would have enough offensive strength to push them through to the playoffs and maybe a division championship. The problem is this defense has been worse than last year, and last year it ranked in the bottom four or five defenses in the NFL. They are getting some reinforcements back this week. They were playing with basically a practice squad defensive line the last 2 weeks against Washington and against Carolina. So to get some of these reinforcements back is a boost to them. It's a good thing. But if the Bengals are going to win on Sunday against Baltimore, it's going to take one of two things. As Joe Burrow said this week, he's going to have to play damn near perfect to win this game, or Baltimore is going to have to make some mistakes offensively with either turnovers, key drop passes, anything you can think of, because this defense of the Bengals right now just simply is not good enough for them to think they can be the reason they win on Sunday against Baltimore.
What do you think they're going to get from Hendrickson?
I think you're going to get your normal Trey Hendrickson game. He was banged up Sunday in Carolina. Now, if you don't watch the Bengals every single Sunday, you don't understand that Trey has a flair for the dramatic when it comes to injuries. He tends to scare the fan base at least once every week or every couple of weeks with what feels like a serious injury, and then he pops up midweek. He's fine. Back on the practice field, and he plays his normal snaps. So he's got to be Superman for this team. He's really the only true difference maker they have on defense. And he can be that. He almost single-handedly beat the Kansas City Chiefs week two in Arrowhead Stadium with the havoc he caused in the second half in the backfield against Patrick Mahomes. They need him to do that because otherwise the rest of the defense just isn't good enough, doesn't have enough playmakers. I expect him to be his normal self on Sunday, and he's going to have to play at an elite level for this team to have a chance.
Joe, when I watched the film from the Carolina game, the D-line, the defensive front, fundamentally I thought they were horrible. you know, because they got high, they got knocked back off the ball, and they just looked like they wanted to look in the backfield to find a ball.
They were quite literally playing with a practice squad, but they were playing their third stringers in that game against Carolina. Now they get B.J. Hill back this week. They do get Chris Jenkins another week. He was a rookie they drafted high this year. They have a lot of hope in. And they get McKinley Jackson back for the first time. Now, McKinley Jackson is a rookie, just like Jenkins, haven't played a lot of football. But they were drafted to help this team up front, which was a huge problem last year. And then DJ Reader left Cincinnati, so the problem became even bigger. So they invested some high draft capital to get better at that spot. McKinley Jackson's only had three padded practices since the start of training camp, and to show you the kind of dire straits the Bengals are in right now, they're going to activate him on Sunday. They're going to play him and see what he can do, because the other guys that you saw against Carolina simply shouldn't be on the active 53, but they had to play them because they had to, because they had nobody left. Now, the one guy they are not going to get back is Sheldon Rankins. Rankins was brought in this offseason from Texas, from Houston, to help add some pass rush boost in the middle of their defensive line. He's not going to be there. So the hope is for the Bengals that these new reinforcements of Hill, Jenkins, and McKinley Jackson can give them something up front. Otherwise, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry could have a field day in Cincinnati on Sunday.
You know, I thought Osai's got some hands that he can get a little pass. He doesn't have the speed, but he's got nice hands rushing the passer, which could give him a little help on the other side.
Yeah, that's the problem. They've needed somebody opposite of Trey Hendrickson for multiple years now to really flash and be the guy. Joseph Osai's had moments. I think a lot of people in Cincinnati are getting close to being out on Joseph Osai. He just doesn't win. His pass rate win percentage isn't good. Sam Hubbard is old and has looked old this year. The one wild card to keep an eye out for is Miles Murphy. Miles Murphy is a guy the Bengals drafted in the first round 2 years ago, has underwhelmed and underperformed, partly because of injuries. He's back this week. He hasn't played this season. He started the year on IR from a training camp injury. He's got some juice. He looks different. He looked great in the offseason. He's the one guy that Cincinnati fans are kind of holding on to hope for, that he could be the guy opposite of Trey Hendrickson to make those kind of plays. He could run. He's athletic. The question is, has he played enough football to really be able to diagnose that deadly read pass option that Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and those receivers have? So he's up against it on Sunday to go out there and try to prove he can be a difference maker on the other side, considering he hasn't played a snap of real football this season.
Now, one of the other big questions I had watching that film, I mean, the secondary. I mean, Cam Britt, hate to say it, he was awful, you know, and the safety, Stone, I mean, we had Stone, they can't run, you know, and then you're playing a safety at the other corner.
That's the point, yeah. When you say it like that, it sounds bad. Here's the thing, okay, so the Bengals tried to remake their safety room. They had Jesse Bates, and we all saw Jesse Bates last night, the difference maker he is. Yeah. Not signing him to a long-term deal is going to haunt this team for a while. He was that important to what they did back there. They tried to bring Von Bell back because Von Bell was kind of the captain of the secondary when the Bengals made their run of the Super Bowl. But he's old. He's 30 years old. He can't run. Geno Stone is not a fast player. So where the Bengals had a lot of problems last year was communication on the back end. They tried to fix that with experience, with guys that can get them lined up in the 20 to 25 seconds before the snap. The problem is the 4 to 6 seconds where the snap is live, Geno Stone and Von Bell can't run effectively enough for this team to have difference makers on the back end. Cam Taylor-Britt played the worst game he's ever played in the NFL last week. He's supposed to be their cornerback one. He's supposed to be an ascending Pro Bowl player. He got benched. The Bengals put him on the bench and had a rotation of defensive backs going out on the field, and now they've lost their slot corner, Mike Hilton, who was doubtful to play this week. So you can understand all the question marks, and here we are 10 minutes into the conversation, and we've talked only about the Bengals defense because that much of an issue here in Cincinnati, and it's the reason they're 1-3, and it's the reason Sunday's game feels like a game the Bengals cannot lose and drop to 1-4 with still 5 more division games left. And you know as well as I do how much the Bengals have struggled in division games as of recent years, even with Joe Burrow. So, yeah, the defensive backs are a problem. The defensive line's been a problem. That's the problem for Cincinnati right now, is the defense just can't get to average to let Joe Burrow win games.
Now, when I look at the offensive line, Mims, he's a talent, but he's not ready. You know, I mean, you don't know. He's hit or miss is what he is. And then why did Orlando Brown Jr. change his stance? It looks like he narrowed his stance extremely. And then what do you think of the guards in the center?
Yeah, the offensive line is solid. The offensive line is solid to good. Amarius Mims looks like an emerging really great football player. His size and footwork is different from anything I've seen in Cincinnati. I mean, when he walks into a room, and they have big guys. Trent Brown's a big man. Orlando Brown's a big man. Amarius Mims looks different, and he can move. So I think the Bengals are on to something at right tackle. Orlando Brown's playing his best football since he came to Cincinnati. You're right. He remade his stance a little bit. His fundamentals are a little different. They've gotten good play from their tackle position, given the circumstances of a rookie playing right tackle. The interior is solid. They're healthy. So I think right now the offensive line's in a good spot. They don't have any depth. Trent Brown going down for the season really zapped them of any depth they have. But the five that are playing right now are very good. To solid, and I think the Bengals will take that considering the skill position guys they have and the quarterback they have. And the new running back combination has proven to be pretty decent here as well. So offensively, they have the third most points in the AFC. Joe Burrow's playing really good football, playing at an underdog, a dark horse MVP rate right now. He's just not getting the kind of attention you would get because his team's 1-3. So offense is in a good spot, but again, we dominated the conversation with defense for a good reason.
Joe Daneman, Fox 19 in Cincinnati, joins us a couple times a year as we talk about the Ravens and Bengals first matchup coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock. Joe, as always, we appreciate the time. Don't take this wrong, but good luck Sunday. You're going to need it.
I kind of agree with that. Yeah, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, the way they looked against Buffalo, quite honestly, to me, was the best performance I've seen from an NFL team this year. But we know NFL is a week-to-week league, and you know Joe Burrow always gives the Bengals a chance in every game.
There you go, Joe. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, guys, anytime.
There's Joe Daneman, everyone, lamenting the fact that their defense isn't that great, and Ravens' offense is pretty strong. So that seems like a mismatch, at least on paper, but that's why they play the games. Funhouse next. I don't know if I want to sit here for 3.5 hours listening to people whining about the Ravens wanting to fire John Harbaugh. So just go to Cincinnati, handle your business. Even Joe Daneman kind of understands that the Bengals, especially on defense, are a little bit challenged here. And you think it's going to be a close game and a division game. But, I mean, we've been on that whammy, Lance, the last couple of days with the Orioles. I don't know if I want to jump back on it Monday with the Ravens
again. I just can see like 20 to 30 passes them throw. I mean, when you hear Joe talk about it, and Bob is their number one corner, they benched him because he was so bad. And your safeties can't run, so what does that mean? Ding, ding, ding means tight ends in the middle of the field to me.
Yeah, you might get people complaining about Harbaugh even if they do win. I mean, you never know. He could have another back-to-back timeout gaffe. You never know what's going to happen at this point. Other intrigue for Sunday, Derrick Henry most likely going to make history. 18 yards away from joining the 10,000-yard club.
Oh, wow.
Something that only 31 other players have accomplished. The last players to do it, it's been since 2017. It's been quite a while. Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, the last guys to join that club. And you hear people talking about this online. Henry, with the way the league's going, could be the last 10,000-yard rusher.
Yeah, and that used to be an exclusive club with Jim Brown, Walter Payton, I think OJ, and Franco Harris. These were in the days of the 12-game seasons for Jim Brown, 14.
Yeah.
Then it got up to 16. Now you have the 17-game seasons. But you know, rushing for 1,000 yards isn't as big a deal as it used to be, but since it's a pass-happy league, to Nolan's point, you know, maybe those days are going the way of the dinosaur here.
And no longevity. I mean, that's the bigger thing.
Right,
Guys just break down, you know, even if they get off to a great start in their career.
All right. We got time to go to the Funhouse?
Absolutely.
Let's appease the people.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
A lot of thoughts on Brandon Hyde here. First one from Chris says, I have no desire to move on from Brandon Hyde. The failure lands squarely on the players. He should be commended for navigating the season with all the injuries they dealt with. and the garbage deadline moves outside of Zach Eflin.
Well, I don't think that's unfair to question. Mike Elias had a plan. Maybe didn't execute it as perfectly as he wanted to. Look, Trevor Rogers turned out to be a disaster for him. They got from Miami and sacrificed Connor Norby, who I like. Stowers, as we've talked about, I always thought he was going to get caught in a numbers crunch there in the outfield. But Eflin, the good thing about that is he's controllable. He might be your ace in 2025. But yeah, Tanner Scott, would he look good at the back end of the bullpen and all that fun stuff?
And really, in today's baseball, Bob, and I don't know, maybe you would know, how much are the managers really controlling?
Wrong! He controls the lineup and the day-to-day maneuvering, but the roster's put together by the GM.
Mike chiming in, he's got thoughts as well, says Hyde is not a good game manager, he just isn't. His handling of pitching has been atrocious, and I'm glad people finally got to see it on a national level. Why would he pull Eflin after only four innings?
What was the score of that game? 2-1,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Pulling Eflin was not the reason they lost that game. They lost the game because they had bases loaded, nobody out,
in
and couldn't
fifth,
get the ball
out
of the infield.
More thoughts. Brandon Hyde has little feel for the game / game flow and the people who play it. Only knows and does what the computer says to do. A championship team needs more than a de facto computer calling the shots.
I agree with that. Sometimes just play your hunches, man. You don't have to be beholden to those matchups all the time.
Bob, I'm right there with you. You got a gut. You know, you go with your gut sometimes.
Yep. This texter says the O's future may be the young core, but this young core has disappeared in September and October the last 2 years. Time to sign some vets to really round out the team.
Not disagreeing. I mean, Gunnar Henderson was bad against the Royals 0-for-7 with a bunch of Ks.
Yeah.
He did hit .500 in last year's playoffs, so he's had success and failure, and he didn't like it. He was in tears after game two. But yeah, you're going to have to augment the roster with proven commodities because you can't hold your breath thinking that Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo are just going to plug in and become all-stars. Hopefully that's eventually what happens to him, but World Series is the thing now. The rebuild's been over. It's about advancing into the playoffs.
And the hard part for me is, sure, you know, I think most people would agree, hey, add a veteran bat. Nobody would disagree with that. But you saw it this year with the guys who are a little bit older on the team, the Austin Hayes, the Cedric Mullins of the world. It was hard enough to get those guys everyday at-bats, battling between the youth, the holdovers from the previous regime. You bring in someone from the outside, I mean, it's not like there's 3 to 4 vacant spots that are wide open to take here. You bring someone in, it could just be a platoon basis.
And you need somebody that knows how to win in the playoffs. None of their young guys have won a playoff game, so that helps, you know, because it's different winning in the regular season compared to the playoffs.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back on Monday, hopefully talking about a Ravens win over the Cincinnati Bengals to get over .500. Inside Access coming up next for Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato. I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. For now, class dismissed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.